All right. Man, we did not plan this, but there is no better set you could have played to set up what we're talking about today. Because, I mean, we might as well go home right now. We just heard the whole entire gospel in just the songs that we were saying. And so, I mean, we might as well just go home. That is the best news. That is the best news ever. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about that exchange that Hunter was just singing about, that Hanbo was just playing about. We're going to talk about that exchange that has taken place in our lives, what Jesus has given us in exchange for what we have given him. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. My name is Greg. I pastor a church in this area called Hope Community. We meet in Park Slope. And our services are Sundays at 4:30, so it enables me to do stuff like this on Sunday morning. And I'm so humbled and honored that Pastor Ray asked me to fill in today for him. He just said he's tired of church and he needed to be somewhere else. I said, hey, okay, man, I feel you. Okay, no, I'm kidding. Not at all. He loves you guys. You know that more than anything. In fact, the place he'd probably rather be is right here. But we force pastors to go on vacation to take care of themselves because they need it. And so he's away right now, and he just asked me to fill in, and it's such an honor to be able to do this. He texted me this morning. He said, hey, man, praying for you this morning and praying for the congregation, and so it's just an honor to be able to be here in front of you guys, and I pray that God uses me in a great way in front of you. I don't take this lightly, this task that I have to come before you today. God has trusted me with this. Ray has trusted me with this. And so I want to do right by them. But most of all, I want to do right by the gospel. I want to do right by the Lord. And so so I'm really glad to be here today. And again, we're going to talk about that. If I could title the message today, I would title this The Great Exchange. That's exactly what this would be. And God has called us, right? He's called us, first of all, there are a lot of mysterious things about God, right? But here's the good news. The gospel's not one of them, all right? God is a mysterious God, but the gospel isn't a mystery. He's allowed us to know exactly how to get to heaven and how to have a relationship with him. And another thing that he's called us to do is he's called us to be ambassadors for Christ. And he's called us to represent him. He's called us, he's tasked us with the wonderful responsibility of sharing the gospel with a world that needs to hear it. And so there are two people that this message is aimed at this morning. Number one, it's aimed at the person who doesn't have a relationship with God, or you're not sure if you have a relationship with God. That's the number one person this message is aimed at today. The number two person this message is aimed at is if you have a relationship with God, this is designed to make you a better ambassador for Christ, a better ambassador for the gospel. So that's what the purpose of today's message is, all right? The number one reason that people do not talk about their faith. Do you know what that number one reason is? The number one reason is because they're scared that they won't know what to say. Why don't people share their faith? Come to find out, it's because they're afraid of saying the wrong thing, or they don't know exactly what they would say. After today's message, if you need to take notes, whatever you have to do, my goal is for you as an ambassador of Christ is to not worry about what you would tell someone else, because you will know exactly what to say. And it should coincide with your personal testimony as well, of how you came to faith in Christ, all right? So whenever I was a youth pastor, and this was in Louisiana. I was also a youth pastor in Oklahoma as well. We moved here about 2 years ago, next month actually. Time flies, 2 years ago. And so it's been awesome being in the city. But whenever I was a youth pastor, we used to have a weekend where we would invite, you know, students to come, and they would invite their friends. It'd be a whole weekend where we would all hang out, and we would bring in a speaker, we would bring in a band, and we would just basically have like a revival sort of over the weekend. And then we would also, you know, do like a lot of awesome fun things in between. One, during the afternoon, we would try to find some big event, some big game that they could do together. And we're talking like, you know, 100 students, 150 students that are all together in this gymnasium at our church. And so we're like, all right, what are we all going to do together? And we decide we're going to play a game called Bigger and Better. And in this game, Bigger and Better, the whole purpose of this is to send out all of the students into neighborhoods, right? This would never work here. Send out all these students into neighborhoods, and we would divide them up into grades. So all the sixth graders would be together, all the seventh graders, and so on. We'd send them out to different neighborhoods, and we would say, your job is to exchange something for something bigger and better. And so what we did is we handed them a paperclip whenever we all met together. We said, get in your groups. They had, you know, hosts that would drive them around. And we gave them a paperclip and we said, all right, this is what we need you to do. We need you to go. Whenever we say go, you're going to rush to the vehicles. You're going to drive to your neighborhoods. You're going to go up to the first house and you're going to have your paperclip, right? And you're going to say, you know, ring the doorbell, knock on the door, whatever. And whoever comes to the door, you're going to say, hi, we're with, you know, so-and-so church. And we're playing a game called Bigger and Better. And what I have is a paperclip. Can you exchange this paperclip for something that's bigger and better? And so, you know, people are a little bewildered at first and they're like, okay, and it would usually start, you know, something small. Yeah, I've got something for you here. You know, take this. And so then you would hand them, you would exchange your paperclip, you would hand them the paperclip, and then they would hand you whatever it is. Then you would take off to the next house. And then you would go and knock on that door and say, I'm so-and-so with so-and-so church, and we're playing a game bigger and better. Give them the whole spiel. We have this. Can you exchange something bigger and better for this? And this would go on. We gave them an hour and a half to go exchange things for bigger and better. And all that really ended up happening was neighbors were trading their junk is what really this was. But they would, so after the hour and a half, they would come back to the church and we would all be hanging out and we'd be waiting for them to walk in with whatever it was that was bigger and better. And the winner of the game was the person obviously who walked in with the biggest and best thing. All right. And so, kids walked in with all kinds of stuff. They would walk in with outdoor furniture, like patio furniture. This started with a paperclip, all right? And people were, I mean, like the students were bringing in chairs, tables, umbrellas, like the whole thing. And they would set it up in the gym and then they would all be sitting. And we would say, oh, that's really great. We had kids walk in with people's outdoor Christmas decorations. So I mean like with the light up Santa included, all right? And they would ask for an extension cord so that they could set it up like it's supposed to be set up. And so you'd have, you know, picnic tables here or outdoor furniture here. You'd have, you know, Christmas decorations over here. One team walked in with this giant two-person kayak. If you know anything about kayaks, this was a nice kayak. I was like, how did you guys end up with this? Like, it was incredible. Like, no lie, we sold that thing and raised the money for our youth group for like $500. That's how awesome. I know, we started, and then trust me, my wheels were turning. I was like, this could be a fundraiser. Like, we could definitely do this or something. We had kids that walked in with a grill and a smoker combo. That was incredible. We had kids walk in with Xboxes and all the games. We had kids walk in with PlayStations and all the games. But my favorite thing that anyone ever got in exchange for a paperclip, and this was, by the way, in exchange for the paperclip. It wasn't they moved up and then all of a sudden got this thing. This was the first house they stopped at, and they exchanged this for a paperclip. They walked in. They didn't need anybody to help them carry anything. It fit in their pocket. It was 4 box seats to an NBA basketball game. Incredible. Incredible. I could not believe that somebody walked in or somebody would just say, hey, I've got a paperclip. Do you have anything? And somebody was like, we're not going to make it to the game. So here's our 4 box seats to an NBA basketball game in exchange for a paperclip. All right. I know you guys are thinking right now, I wonder how many paperclips I can find right now. I'm gonna go do something about this. But that was the craziest exchange I'd ever seen. Everybody say exchange. Exchange. That's a very, very important word. I was setting up in the park the other day to record a video, And I don't know about you guys, but I guess I get a little nervous whenever I'm going to be like, boldly speaking about Jesus, you know, like in the public here, like in Prospect Park is where I was. And all I was doing is recording a video to send to one of our churches that helped sponsor us. And just letting them know how things were going. And so I was so self-conscious about things. I've got my camera set up right here. You know, I'm sitting over here and I'm like, hey, everyone, this is Pastor Greg from Hope Community Church. Let me tell you about all that God has done. He is so incredible. But I found myself getting like a little quiet when people would like walk by, you know. And so I was just like, hey, everyone, this is redo. And I'd wait till the coast was kind of clear and like look around and then be like, all right, let's start again. Hey, everyone, this is. And so I had a couple of takes of that. And then I wasn't satisfied with how the video turned out. But then a lady came and sat down on the bench about 6 feet away, social distanced. 6 feet away, right? And she was on this bench and she was just, and she all she wanted to do was sit and listen to what I had to say. I was like, this, I'm not like preaching, like I'm trying to do a video, you know, like this is what's happening right now. And so I was like, all right. And it was so cool because God in that moment, I was nervous, but God, and this is a totally different story, but of the lesson God was teaching me, but he just said, do you trust me? Do you believe me? And I just was like, yeah. So I was like, maybe this lady has something, you know, that she needs to hear. So I did the whole video. And then after I stopped the video, she just said, can I ask you a question? I was like, sure. She said, what is Hope Community? And so I, you know, explained that we were a church and everything. And she goes, okay, so are you guys Christians? And I was like, yes, ma'am, we are Christians. We're from the South. I say, yes, ma'am. And so I was like, yes, we are. And she said, well, that's great. This was the Sunday after Easter, by the way. This was the Friday after the Sunday of Easter. And then she said this to me. She goes, so do you really believe in the resurrection? Y'all, I just finished preaching about the resurrection 5 days before this, all right? And I couldn't believe that was the first question she asked me. Do you really believe in the resurrection? And I said, yes, actually, I do. And so I was like, do you need me to talk to you about the resurrection? Because I can talk to you about that right now. And she goes, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of hard to believe. And I was like, no, I understand. But actually, if you know all the details, it's actually harder not to believe in the resurrection than it is to believe in the resurrection. So we talked about that for a minute and she goes, now, okay, answer me this then. Do you believe in a heaven or a hell? Y'all, I pray for encounters like this. This is not normal, okay? Like usually I'm trying to like find a way to segue into these questions and she's just asking these questions. And she said, so you believe in like a literal heaven and a literal hell? And I was like, yeah, I do. And she was like, okay. And she was like, well, you know, I'm just not real sure about it. And I said, so you're not sure if there actually is a heaven or actually is a hell? And she was like, now she talked about how she went to church whenever she was younger and how so she knew about these things. But she said, yeah, I'm just not real sure. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If there is a heaven, how do you believe that you get there? I'm just curious about what you believe. And she said, you know, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, if I am a good person, if I do right by people, you know, if I, you know, go to church, she said, which I haven't done in a while, I'll admit that. She said, I think that if you pray and if you try to do what God wants you to do, then he's going, you know, then I think that you'll be allowed into heaven. And I said, so basically what you're saying then is you can exchange your good deeds for heaven. Everybody say exchange. You can exchange your good deeds for heaven. And she said, yeah, that's pretty much what I think. And then she said, what do you think? It was awesome, guys. It was awesome. That is a very common belief, by the way, that people can exchange their good works for heaven. A very common belief. I was talking to my grandpa on the phone just last week. I turned 40 on Thursday, by the way. Yeah. I feel young. I still feel young, all right? But I was talking to my grandpa about it, you know, and he was like, somebody's got a birthday coming up. I was like, yeah. He said, going to be 40. I said, yep. I said, can you believe it? He said, I'm going to be 90 in August. I said, you win. You win. You know, and as grandpas talk about, he just said, you know, he goes, it's kind of weird. I could go at any moment. Like, this is how he talks, right? I could go at any moment. And he was like, I don't know why the Lord still has me here. No idea. I feel like I'm just a burden on everybody. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about this for a second, you know? And then I said, you know, I was like, Grandpa, are you ever afraid? And, you know, you're the one saying, you know, you could go at any moment. Is that weird? Like, are you scared at all about that? And he was like, nah, not really. I'm not really that worried about it. I was like, that's good. He goes, I'm ready to go. I said, all right, good. I said, you ready for that reward? And, you know, after it's all over, and he said, boy, I hope so. I said, you hope so? Hold on a second. You hope so? And I just talked to him for a second. I said, no, there's no hope so in this. So there's no hoping at all. Like, the Bible in 1 John literally says, I have written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. I was like, Grandpa, let me talk to you a little bit about this. And so I talked to him about the gospel and I shared it with him. But even though he calls himself a Christian, even though he you know, watches church on TV, right? Even though these things, he still, his best is, I hope so. I hope so. That's what he was hoping, was that he had lived a good enough life, and that in exchange for that good enough life, he was going to receive heaven. Everybody say exchange. So, is this really how God works? That we can just do those things? He just leaves us here at best hoping. Hoping that when we die, that we're going to be in heaven. Hoping that we've been good enough. Well, my question then is how good is good enough? How good is good enough? Who or what is the standard of good in this moment, right? I can think of some bad people that I'm certainly better than. Can you do the same? Yeah, no, careful now. All right, easy. Yeah, absolutely. But I can also think of some people that are better than I am. Right? So what's the standard? Am I in trouble? Do I need to be better than them? Do I just need to be better than whoever I can think is less than I am as far as being better? Does God really put us here on this planet and then say, I'll let you know when the time comes if you made it or not? Is that really what God does? No, absolutely not. And like I said earlier, he said in 1 John 5:13, I've written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, these people who are trying to exchange their good works for heaven, they are well-meaning, they're just misinformed. They're just misinformed. They're well-intentioned people, but they're misinformed, but they are right about something. They are right about something. In order to have a right standing before God, there does need to be an exchange. But what people don't realize is that they're trying to exchange the wrong thing. They're exchanging the wrong thing. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus is talking to the people and he says this, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, in that day, no one was better than the scribes or the Pharisees. They were the best of the best. Those people you think about that are better than you, those were the scribes and the Pharisees, all right? And Jesus has just said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, unless you are better at following the law, unless you are better at obeying God than the people who are responsible and their sole priority is obeying God and follow the rules, unless you are better than them, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's basically saying, and this is exactly what he's saying, and this is how they understood it, you must be perfect in order to get to heaven. You must be absolutely perfect. And it turns out only perfect people are allowed into heaven. And it turns out that our good deeds are as effective to getting us to heaven as a murderer on death row cleaning toilets, hoping they will be released on good behavior. That's just the truth. The other day, or not the other day, it was actually whenever I was a kid, it was the other day, 40 years ago, it's fine. We purchased a gaming system whenever I was a kid, and anyways, we get, you know, whenever you're a kid and you get this gaming system, you're like, this is going to be incredible, I can't wait to play. My son is in search of a PS5 right now. Good luck with that. If you know anything about it, like, that's really hard to find right now. But we, you know, we get this gaming system home and, we unbox it, we plug it in and everything, and the thing doesn't work, right? That's a bummer. We're checking all of the plugs, making sure everything's plugged in right, all these things. And, turns out it's just broken. That's all it is. All right. And so here's what we didn't do. We didn't try to fix it and then try, like, oh, we'll get it as best as we can and then we'll take it back to the store. That way they'll maybe give us a new one, right? That's not what we did at all. What did we do? What we did, right, what we did is we took it to the store and I said, here is this. This is broken. What I need you to do is I need you to give me something in exchange that is not broken. All right? Simple as that. I just need you to give me something unbroken in exchange for this broken thing. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. Here's the point. Our sin has left us broken and we are unable to fix ourselves. We're completely unable to fix ourselves. What we need to be able to do is walk up to God and say, here is my brokenness. What I need in exchange is something not broken. That's what we need. And guys, can't you feel, if you're a believer in here, don't you remember the brokenness that you had before Christ? If you're not sure if you're a believer or if you are an unbeliever in here, be honest with yourself. There's a brokenness about you that you feel. And that is the effect of sin in your life. The definition of brokenness is not functioning in the way that you were built to function. That's the definition of brokenness. And every single one of us, whenever sin entered into our lives at whatever age, and it was young, really young, right? Just look at a 2-year-old and you're like, you're a sinner. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. That's very true. but just think about that. From that moment, you were broken. You were no longer functioning in the way that God intended for you to function. And we have that brokenness in our life and we seek this joy that we're unable to find. We seek hope in many things and they always seem to let us down. We seek peace, yet so many times we lay our heads down at night and we worry. Why? Because we're broken. So many people live in agony trying to exchange their good works when what they need to exchange is their sin. That's the exchange that we need. Somebody say exchange. So if only there was someone, right, who had no sin. Someone who wasn't broken, who would be willing to take our sin and brokenness in exchange for their sinlessness and wholeness. If only there was someone. And my friends, this is the purpose. The purpose of Jesus' birth, the purpose of his life, the purpose of his death, and the purpose of his resurrection. That's the purpose of it all. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, if you want to turn there, you can. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 through 13. Somebody needs you real bad. You better get it. So Galatians 3, 11 through 13. If you got it, say, I got it. If you're not there yet, say, hold up. All right. I will. I'm going to give you 10 seconds, all right? This is a Bible drill. Better get there. Better get there. All right. This scripture right here does such a great job of explaining to us this exchange. So here's what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Let's start there. It says this, but that no man is justified. The word justified means declared not guilty before God, all right? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. In other words, you cannot be good enough. You cannot do enough good things to be able to be justified in the sight of God. He continues on. He says, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. All right. Real quick. The Galatians had trusted Christ alone for salvation whenever Paul planted the church in Galatia. All right. And they trusted Christ. They believed Paul's message of the gospel. But then there were some people that were coming in known as Judaizers, and they were trying to get them to understand that, no, it's not just faith in Christ alone that saves you. It's also the law as well. All right. So what you've always known as the law, you're not supposed to get rid of that. It's in addition to grace. You also have to. So it's not just Jesus, right? It's not just Jesus. Jesus is just part of the way. What you need is the law for the rest of the way, right? But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus says about himself, all right? But that's what was being taught to the church at Galatia. Paul's only job was to go to them, and he was to say, no, what you're believing in is a false gospel now. What you're spreading is a false gospel now. The truth is it's in faith alone, all right? So that's what he's trying to convince them of, and it's a beautiful book. He takes all these angles at trying to get them to understand that. And his goal in writing in Galatians, honestly, Galatians can be summed up in one verse, actually two verses from the book of Ephesians, all right? This is what he tells them in Ephesians as well. He's obviously had to say this. I'll just tell you this real quick. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he says, for by grace ye are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, that's his whole message basically to the church in Galatia, is you're saved by faith, you're not saved by works. You cannot do anything yourself, all right? And in the scripture right before this, he reminds them even of their patriarch Abraham, and he says Abraham wasn't even saved by works. If you go all the way back to your patriarch Abraham, you'll see that it was a belief in the promise that God had given him, that there would be someone that would bless the entire, all nations, that was a descendant of his. And God said, do you believe me? Abraham said, I believe you. And then the Bible says God credited to Abraham righteousness. So it wasn't even righteousness, or it wasn't even works by the way that Abraham was saved. All right. And by the way, that covenant is everlasting. All right. And it's a greater covenant than the one even in the Mosaic covenant of the law. And he said, if Abraham is saved by faith, what makes you think that you're going to be saved by works, by doing enough good things? He's saying it's not possible. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't track with all of scripture. All right. So it's not by doing good things that a person is declared righteous before God. It's faith. Faith in Christ. And you're like, wait a minute, that was the Old Testament. Well, if you also read in Galatians, it says that God preached the gospel to Abraham through that promise. And that gospel was obviously the coming of a Messiah. So people ask all the time, you know, how were people in the Old Testament saved? It's the same way we're saved today. It was faith in a coming Messiah. We are saved today by faith in a Messiah that has already come. That's the way that scripture says that we're saved. That's what he's trying to convince them of. And then he goes on in Galatians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, and he says this, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And here's the big, big part right here. Being made a curse for us. Being made a curse for. In other words, the way of the law, people say, is how a person has eternal life. But that is in opposition to the way of faith that was preached to Abraham. The way of faith says when Christ was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. He exchanged that, and he took that upon himself. And I was having a conversation with a guy not long ago. We were having coffee and over here in Windsor Cafe. And we were talking, and he said he was a Christian. He said he was a believer. And so we sat down, you know, just, you know, whenever you meet another believer in this city, it's like, can we be best friends? And so we were having a coffee and everything. And he kind of came from a different denomination. I'll say denomination. And anyways, we got to talking about things, and And, you know, I just said, you know, being from a different kind of denomination, I was like, you know, hey, just real quick, you know, in your denomination, how do you guys believe that you get to heaven? And, you know, and he just said, well, he said, you know, I'll tell you, it's definitely by, you know, I think that going to church has to do with that. He said, I think that if you go to church, he talked about some other things that he, was told to do at church. And he said, and you know, I think that if you're a good person, if you do right by people, same answer that I've always heard all the time. And he said, you know, then I think that gets you into heaven. And I just asked him a question. I just said, okay, because he said he was a Christian. And so, I said, well, let me ask you this question then. Why did Jesus die? Just, you know, matter of fact, you know, and, he said, oh, well, you know, he died for our sins. And I was like, okay, does it have anything to do or play into how we get to heaven? And he was like, I mean, I'm sure it does, but you know, I don't know. And I just said, you know, it's interesting to me because if we could get to heaven by our own merit, if we could get to heaven just by doing good things, then wasn't the death of Jesus pointless? It was. It absolutely was. And he kind of looked at me and he said, you know, I really never thought about that before. And I said, I think it's worth looking into. You know, I think it's worth looking into. And then I loved it because he was like, well, what do you think? Well, how do you think we get to heaven? I'd thank God for opening doors like that in conversations, I'm telling you. But that's exactly what Paul says in the chapter before in Galatians. In chapter 2, verse 21, he says, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain, is what he says. So when the question is, what is the purpose of Christ's death? We just read it. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Now remember that exchange we talked about. There's the first half of it. That's the first half of that exchange. He took upon himself. He will take upon himself from us. He takes from us our sin and the punishment you and I deserve, and he takes our brokenness. But that's not the full exchange. An exchange is getting something in return. And praise the Lord, God is so clear in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we get to see what that other exchange is. In verse 21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is incredible news. He knew no sin. Remember, what we need is that perfect person, someone better than the scribes and Pharisees, that is willing to exchange their perfection for our imperfection. That's what we need. And that's what Jesus offers. In exchange for our sin, Christ gives us his righteousness. Everybody say exchange. That is an incredible exchange. That somebody who lived a perfect life will stand there and say, if you will hand me your sin, I will give you my sinlessness. If you will hand me your unrighteousness, I will hand you my righteousness. If you will hand me what you earned, I will give you what I earned. That's the exchange that Christ has for us. And that is called, ladies and gentlemen, the great exchange. And this is how grace works. This is how salvation works. This is the way of faith that he's been talking about. We need someone we can ask, not, will you take these good deeds in exchange for heaven? But we need someone we can ask, will you trade my sinful life and exchange it for your sinless life so that I can stand righteous before God and be allowed into heaven? So many people spend so much of their time trying to exchange their good deeds for heaven when what we need to exchange is our sin for Christ's righteousness. That's what we need. And here's the truth boiled down. And we'll close with this. Here's the truth boiled down into something that is popular. It's known as the Roman road. So easy. And in Romans 3:23, basically what God says is everybody has sinned. And they all fall short of God's glory. There's not a person in this room that has never sinned. Nobody. And then in Romans 6:23, he says, that the wages of those sins, the payment for those sins, is death. That's the payment we all receive. That's the bad news, is that every single person, because no one is perfect, we talked about it a second ago, because nobody is perfect, you won't be allowed into heaven. But there's a but in that verse. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death, but you know what he says the gift, that God's gift to us is? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the exchange that we need. And then on in Romans 5:8, he says that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then he says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you believe, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that if you believe in your heart the message of the gospel, that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. That's the gospel wrapped up. That's everything that we've talked about. That's how that exchange takes place. But here's the thing. Whenever the number one answer I said to why people say they get to heaven is doing good things, being a good person. The number two answer that I always hear is believing in God. Why is God going to let you into heaven? Well, because I believe in God. And my answer after that always is just another question. It says, let me ask you a question. Does Satan believe in God? And they stop for a second, because that's a weird thought, right? Especially if you're trusting belief for salvation. Their immediate response is no. And you're like, hold up. Does Satan believe in God? Isn't he just working against him, right? Like, that's the whole thing? And they're like, yeah, I guess so. So within what makes your belief in God different from Satan's belief in God? How does that work out? Well, it doesn't. And here's the thing. They always want to take one half of that verse. They forget the confess your mouth with Jesus as Lord. They just skip straight to the believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And ladies and gentlemen, that's easy to believe. Honestly, if you study it, that's easy to believe. And that's something that I believed whenever I was young. I was a false convert whenever I was young. I thought I was saved because I believed in God. But I never confessed him as the Lord of my life. I never repented of my sin and put my faith and trust in Christ, ever. I never made him boss. I never made him Lord ever in my life. And because of that, I wasn't really saved. But the moment that I realized it, the moment that I was convicted of my sin and I fell on my knees and said, God, I am a sinner before you, and what I need is Christ's righteousness in my life. I submit my life to you. You know what he did? He took my heart of stone and he gave me a heart of flesh. He changed my desires. He changed my loves. He changed everything in me. He gave me the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to me at salvation. And that's what he offers to every person. So, the exchange in a nutshell. Jesus will take from you your unrighteousness. You'll receive his righteousness. He will take from you all of your sins, past, present, and future. In exchange, he will give you his complete sinlessness. He will take your brokenness and he will give you wholeness. He will take your just guilty verdict before God and give you his just innocent verdict before God. He will take upon himself the punishment which you have earned and exchange it for the satisfaction he has earned. He will take your alienation from God and he will give you adoption into God's eternal family. Jesus didn't merely make our righteousness, our unrighteousness disappear. That's not how it works. It can't just disappear. Someone has to pay for it. Jesus took it upon himself and endured the punishment required for it as though it were his. Jesus doesn't only pay the penalty required for our sin, he also credits us with his obedience. God sees the Christian as possessing Jesus's righteousness. That's what we get. And bro, that's what we sang about all morning. That's what we sang about this whole time. And I love when that happens. I love when that happens. But that's just the Lord. The Lord had a message for us today. Can I just say that? And so here's what I am hoping. I told you this was aimed at two people, two different groups. Number one, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you're trusting your works to save you, if you're trusting a belief in God to save you, I'm here to lovingly tell you it's not going to work. And I'm begging you today to ask God to exchange Christ's righteousness for your unrighteousness. To not only believe in the cross, not only believe the message of the gospel, but to make him the Lord of your life. And for those of you in here that have done that, several of you in here that are amening and know exactly what I'm talking about, we are called to have the privilege of being ambassadors for the gospel. God could have shared the gospel through any means necessary. But you know what he chose to do? God, in his infinite knowledge of everything, in his most loving way possible for us, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless my people and give them the honor of sharing the gospel. That's what I'm going to do. We have that honor as ambassadors of the gospel. And I hope that today, talking through this, gives you more confidence in sharing with someone about the gospel. Let's pray together, all right? Let's bow our heads, if you don't mind. Here's what I want to do. If you're in here and you fall into that first category, you've never given your life to Christ, you've never trusted him for salvation, you've never received that exchange, your sin for his sinlessness, I want to give you the opportunity just to pray to him. And if you want to be saved, if you want to receive the righteousness of Jesus, so that when you stand before God, he's not going to see your sin, he's going to see the righteousness of Jesus. He's going to see the sinless life that Jesus lived. And if you want that to happen, and if you want to enter into a relationship with God today, a relationship with Jesus Christ, then all you need to do is cry out to him in prayer right now. There's no special words. It's just your heart crying out to him, God, save me. And whatever prayer you want to offer to him in exchanging your sin for his sinlessness, you pray that from your heart and beg him for forgiveness, and he's going to do that. So you just pray that where you are. For everybody else, while they're praying, let's just do a self-inventory for a moment. When's the last time we shared the gospel with someone? When's the last time we shared the greatest news that has ever been spoken in this world? And let's allow God to remind us of the goodness of the gospel, the beauty of the gospel, of the changes that have happened in our own lives. And let's pray our own prayer of, God, give me a burden for the lost. Give me opportunities to share. Help me to be an ambassador for you. If you guys will just take a moment, just respond to him in prayer. Everyone in this room. Father, we come to you and we thank you so much for the gift of the gospel. We thank you so much for the gift of this great exchange that we're able to talk about today. God, thank you that I can stand here as a redeemed person, God, but not because of anything that I've done. Lord, because of everything that Jesus has done, the perfect life that he has lived, God, you see in me. God, and I thank you for revealing that to me. And Jesus, I thank you for taking my sin, my punishment, so that I could be alive. God, I pray that you will use us to share this gospel. God, that we will see a revival in New York City of all places. But God, that revival starts in us. And so I pray, God, that you will do that in us. Lord, I thank you for anyone here, God, today that started a brand new relationship with you. God, thank you for calling them to yourself. And God, I pray that you will help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through the discipleship of this church, and through the Holy Spirit within. And God, I thank you so much for our time that we have been able to have to gather together today to talk about the thing that I'm most passionate about. God, and I hope that we're all most passionate about. So God, thank you for saving us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well guys, hey listen, I don't know if anyone prayed today and took God up on that offer of exchanging sin for righteousness. But if you did that today, here's what I would challenge you to do. Tell someone about that. Tell someone that is a believer that you know that is a mature believer and ask, what do I do next? There's leadership in this church. You can go to them and you can ask them. Pastor Ray, whenever he comes back, give him a call. I know he'd love to talk with you about that. If you want me to, let's go to coffee or something. I would be so glad to talk with you about that. But let's do what we were meant to do for the gospel. We got this one life. And I'm almost 40. It goes by quick, people. It's hitting me quick. But let's do it. All right. It's been a pleasure being with you guys today. And happy Sunday to you all. You guys be praying for our service. It's at 4:30 today. And we're just praying that the Lord uses that. So God bless you guys. And we'll see you, Lord willing, next time. All right. Have a great day.